Amen. You have your Bibles? Let's get into the Word together. Today we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I titled the message, it's kind of an interesting title, but I just titled the message, It's Messy in the Middle. It's Messy in the Middle. Matthew 13 and verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed into his field. But while he slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced the crop, the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How does it have tares? But he said to them, An enemy has done this. And so the servant said to him, Do you want us to go and gather them up? And he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow up together until the harvest. And at the harvest, at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reaper, First gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And so I was reading this message this week, and the Lord began to speak to me about it's messy in the middle. The reason I say that about this story is the story starts off good, and it ends up good. But there's some drama in the middle. It starts with good land, good soil, and it ends with a harvest in the barn. How many know life can be messy in the middle? It can just get messy in the middle, and I can relate, and I'm sure you can relate, that sometimes it's just things get messy. I remember the words of an old song, an old rock and roll song that when I was a kid in the early 70s, it went something like this. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle again. You ever feel that way? Like I'm just stuck in the middle, and it's like, man, I got all this mess going on all around me, and I'm stuck in the middle of it. Sometimes I think, man, I didn't do anything to deserve all this. Like, what did I do? Everything was just going great, and then all of a sudden, stuff starts growing in my life, and I'm like, where did it come from? And the truth is, life is just messy in the middle. I like watching couples get married. Johnny got married just about 3 weeks ago. Three weeks ago. And it's so beautiful, isn't it? Like, you got the little flowers and the flower girls and all the stuff, and Johnny and Nicole walk down the aisle. They're just so beautiful, and I'm sitting here with Johnny, and he's standing on my right, and he goes, Pastor, I'm losing it. I'm losing it. I said, what? He goes, I'm losing it. I'm getting dizzy. I said, well, put your feet out wide and just breathe. Just keep breathing. And Nicole come around the corner, and he went, it's like so beautiful, you know? And it just starts off so beautiful. And then you get like a couple like Nag Mama and Nag Papa. They've been married. How many years you guys been married? 58 years. And you see them walk into the church, and they come walking, holding hands, and she's got her little walker, and he's walking right beside of her. And I look at that, I said, man, it's so beautiful at the beginning, and it's so beautiful in the end. But how many know the middle can be kind of messy at times? Huh? Yeah, right? The middle can get kind of messy. It's like, what in the world? Like you start off, you know, you have a baby, you know, we went to the hospital. And when my son, 29 years ago, was born, and we go there, and Bobby says, I was sleeping. She said, it's time. I said, time for what? She goes, my water broke. It's time. We gotta go to the hospital. I said, what? She said, and I was worse than her, man. I was a nervous wreck. And we get out there, you know, and the baby's delivered, and everything goes amazing. And they just hand you, like, this little baby, and you just walk. I had a two-seater car. And we walk out with this little thing, you know, and we're taking this little man home with us. And we had to, like, get rope and tie him into the back of it because we didn't have a car seat back there, did we? I mean, we strapped him in with stuff. It's like there's no back seat at all. We're in a two-seater. But it's like, you know, it's just beautiful at the beginning. Like, it's all going to work out, you know. And then in the end, now they're married. They've got two grandbabies. They've got two children. And Amanda's pregnant, going to have another baby. And it's like, man, it's just so beautiful. But I'm going to tell you, there was a time there when it was messy in the middle. Like, I was looking at my teenage son and thinking, I wanted to grab him and say, where is my son? What have you done with my son, and who are you, and why are you in his body? Can anybody relate? Ron, I know you can relate. Bailey hadn't always been that sweet little angel up here helping out with everything, right? No, she hasn't. When they first started coming to church, man, I was worried about that girl. I'm like, Lord Jesus. Huh? There are times you look at your kids when they become teenagers and you're thinking, I need to have a DNA test. I just don't even think that's my kid. Because it can get messy in the middle, you know? And you just feel like clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am stuck in the middle again. Amen. Have you ever just looked at your life and just thought, man, where what in the world? It's easy to get discouraged in the middle. But I want to help somebody get through the mess today and realize that the mess in the middle is only going to be used for God's glory. God never promised we would reach our destiny without disappointments. You need to write that down if you could. Or if you get the sermon notes, you can get them on the app. Grab the sermon notes. It's on there. But it'd be good for you to write that down, put it on your refrigerator, put it in your car, and to remember, God never promised that we would reach our destiny without disappointments. Life is filled with disappointments. God never promised that we would understand everything that we go through. He never promised that you would understand it all and that it would all make sense to you. There are things that go on in my life sometimes I'm thinking, why in the world am I going through this? When my heart stopped and I died, God is my witness. Things were great in our life. Things were great in our family. Our marriage was great, and Jordan was doing good, and he was on fire for God, and Destiny was just a little girl in school, and everything was just like, everything was so great. The church was growing, but all of a sudden, my heart goes to VFib, and I drop dead. And I'm dead for nearly 15 minutes, and I'm in a coma for 3 days. And it looks like, where in the world, what in the world is going on? But God says, hey, you know what? It's messy in the middle, but you hang on, because in the end, it's going to be glorious. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, take your Bibles and open up to it and read it with me if you could. John 16 and verse 33. I read out of a New King James. I don't know what your translation, but I'm sure it'll speak to you if you'll just read along with me. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. That's important, because when you've got the mess that's going on all around you, you better get in Jesus and find some peace. Because in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. I'm not telling you that you're not supposed to live in victory. Because we are going to live in victory. And we have the victory. We are not victims trying to get victory. We are victors protecting our freedom in Christ. And we have the victory. But I'm also not telling you that you're never going to have to walk through a lonely valley. Can I tell you that after pastoring Destiny Church now for 11 years, there are still times in my life where I feel lonely, surrounded with people, got people everywhere, the church is larger than it's ever been, there's people all in my life everywhere, but I could be surrounded with people and still feel lonely. Huh? Why? Because it's messy in the middle. I'm not telling you you're never going to have to walk through a lonely valley. Jesus said this, in this life, you will have tribulation. Not the next life. In this life, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Listen, in the kingdom of God, good people doing good things still have trouble. If you don't have any trouble in your life, I'm wondering what kingdom you're in. Because in his kingdom, there's trouble. And it's messy in the middle. God never promised easy. Can I get an amen? Just because you tithe don't mean your car don't break down. Huh? Well, I'm a tither. How can my car break down? Because we live in a cursed world. And things fall apart. And your washing machine can break down. And your car can break down, and you can find yourself struggling financially and going, What in the world is going on? And God says, don't worry, it's just messy in the middle. But when it's all said and done, you are blessed to be a blessing. And I will bless you and I will prosper your life. And you'll be blessed coming in and blessed going out. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the middle. Listen, just because you tithe, you still have to balance your checkbook. You still got to live beneath your means. You got to look at your life and say, this is what's coming in. You can't keep charging things and getting all out of balance and then wonder, well, I'm a tither, so God's going to bring it all around. Well, you better straighten your silly self up and realize you got to spend less than you make. God does miraculous. I can't tell you how many times we've looked at our bills and said, we owe way more than we're bringing in, and God always met the need. But he was giving us grace to get it in order. He was giving us grace. He said, look, you may have overextended yourself, but you're tithing now. Now start getting everything into alignment so that I can release the blessing through your life. And I'm telling you, your God is a God of increase, not a God of decrease. But you have to do your part. I was reading the soap, and I posted a little bit on Facebook about the soap this week, trying to get all the new people to join us in soap. And we're reading Luke chapter 11. And in there he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. What was he saying? You got to do your part. It's messy in the middle, but you still got to do your part. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. He's just giving us the truth. He says, hey, don't think just because you're going through some strange thing that all of a sudden everything's falling apart now. No, no. He's just trying to get you to understand that he wants to do something through your life. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Bad things happen to good people. In Matthew 13, this was a good man with good seed, and he put it into his field. But while he slept, while he was sleeping, everybody gets tired. You're not made of steel. We're not made to handle everything all the time. And the enemy is always crouched at your door looking for an opportunity to sow bad seed into your life. And I think God gave me this whole message to say to somebody, just because you're going through a bad time right now doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Just because you're experiencing things in your life right now does not mean that you missed it somehow and you did something wrong and now all this is coming upon you. Because that's what, do you ever notice that sometimes Christian friends will have a Bible and a rock? Like they'll encourage you with one side and then they're going to throw a rock at you with the other side. Job had some friends like that. His friends came to comfort him, and all of a sudden, it wasn't long till they were saying, hey, maybe you're the problem, Job. Maybe you're the issue. Have you done something wrong, or what are you not doing? But how many know it wasn't anything that Job did wrong? It was something God needed Job to go through to show him and to bring it to a light, things that was in his life that he didn't even know about. I'm just telling you, sometimes you're in the middle of some stuff that you didn't do in your life. I don't know about you, but I've had some things growing in my life that I didn't sow. I've had some things come upon me and come into my life that I didn't deserve it, and I don't know where it came from. But there's an enemy that wants to destroy me, and if I don't realize that one of the struggles that most people have is believing that things are happening in their life as a result of their own doing. But the truth is, this man had good soil, good seed, planted it into his ground, and an enemy came in when he was tired and sowed bad seed. There are some things growing in your life that aren't a problem. It isn't that you've not done something or that you did something wrong, but sometimes it's just the fact that the enemy wants to put guilt and shame on you or have you living in bondage. I'm going to give you 7 reasons why bad things happen to good people. And you're not going to be able to write them all down. You can get them on the web. If you can write them, good. I'll try to say them slow, but they may be able to put them up for you. But here's 7 reasons bad things happen to good people. Number 1, bad things happen to good people because we live in a fallen world. You can't even get a rose without a thorn. It's a cursed world. And we have been assigned by God to open the windows of heaven and bring heaven to earth and bring the blessing of the earth of heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people, number two, because of sin. Because we open the door sometimes, because we live in sin or we live in rebellion, and it opens the door to death and darkness. And sometimes it's the sin of others. You're doing everything right, but you're surrounded with people who are living in sin, and now you're reaping the effect of their sin. Bad things happen to good people because of sin and because of the sin of others. Number three, bad things happen to good people to teach us and prepare us. Sometimes we go through things just so the Father can teach us things, so that he can prepare us for things coming around the corner. Number four, bad things happen to good people to bring glory to God. We were in the men's group, and we were talking about Job, and we were talking about, why all this stuff was going on in Job's life, and one of the brothers brought up the story of the blind man that came to Jesus, and the disciples asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither, but that the works of God may be glorified. And sometimes bad things happen to good people to bring glory to God. Number five, bad things happen to good people to remind us to trust God. If we didn't have anything bad happen in our lives, we wouldn't trust God. But sometimes things happen just to remind us to trust God and to walk this out, that it is messy in the middle, but there's an end coming. There's an end to this thing, and we're not going to live in the mess. Number six, bad things happen to good people to help other people. Sometimes bad things happen in my life to help people around me. And I go through the storm, and they say, hey, if Pastor Greg died, it's probably not a bad thing that I'm having to go through this. If he actually died, maybe that I'm walking through this so that I can bring glory to God also. And some of the things you go through in your life are for all those around you that are watching. How will you respond in the middle of your storm? And number seven, bad things happen to good people to remind us that we're not home yet. We're just not there yet. The enemy wants to hold you back. The enemy wants to hold you back from what God has for you by making you think that you deserve what you're going through right now. Somehow you deserve it because of what you did or what you didn't do. Something you've sown in the past. And so now you're going through all this. And I want you to know something. Your God is a redeemer. He redeems the time. And when you come to God and you say, well, I've sown all this bad seed back years ago, and I'm probably reaping the harvest of that now, I'm here to tell you no in Jesus' name. When you came to Jesus Christ, he forgave your past, and he threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. And the only way he remembers is it when you remind him of it. And you've got to stop reminding God of your past and start declaring your future. It's just messy in the middle, and that doesn't mean you've done something wrong. It doesn't always mean you've done something wrong. It just means we're in a cursed world. I'm just here to tell you that everything might not be your fault. Maybe an enemy has done this to you. The man in Matthew 13 sowed good seed, and when he began to grow, there were tares that grew up. It's possible, listen, this is what I know. It is possible to have your promise and your problem growing in the same field at the same time. It is possible to have your promise and your problem growing in the same field at the same time. You ever taken one step forward and feel like you get knocked three steps back? You feel like you're starting to make advances, and all of a sudden everything just falls apart, and you're like, what in the world? Like, what is going on? Where'd this come from? We need to stop questioning God and questioning everything around and blaming everybody and everything, and just trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge him. And he promised he would direct our paths. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 says this. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know, I go back and I remember like Moses having this burning bush experience. He's in the desert and he sees a bush that's burning and it's not consumed. And he turns to see the bush. Exodus chapter 3. He turns and he looks at the bush and the bush starts talking to him. It's a beautiful beginning to Moses' destiny. And he hears God speaking in there. And it's like, wow. And God begins to tell him in Exodus 3 and 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And so I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me, and I've also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Man, the beginning and the end. He says, look here, I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. And you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And the end is the promised land. They're going to get to the promised land. But what he doesn't tell Moses is the middle. He doesn't tell Moses everything that he's going to have to go through. He says, you just go tell him to let my people go. And now you find it's messy in the middle. There's 10 plagues. The plagues, the Nile is turned to blood. There's frogs and flies and lice. Locusts eat everything. There's the death of the livestock. Boils. There's darkness and fire falls from the sky. The death of the firstborn child. All these things going on. And Moses has to be thinking, what in the world? What that bush experience and the promised land. And now look at all the mess in the middle. And then in Exodus chapter 10. The Lord says to Moses, Exodus 10 and 1. The Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things that I have done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that they may know, that you may know that I am the Lord. Moses had to be thinking, what? You wanted me to go in, tell Pharaoh to let him go, but you hardened his heart and you already knew he was going to say no? God couldn't explain all that to Moses. If God had explained all that to Moses, Moses would have said, No, I'm done. I'm out. God said, hey, you just go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and God explains it to him in verse 10. He said, the reason I did this is so that your sons and your sons' sons will know that I am God. And they will be able to look back and all those signs and all those wonders and know that no matter what the mess looks like, no matter how messy it is in the middle, the promise that I gave you at the bush is going to come to pass, and they will enter a land flowing with milk and honey. And some of you got so much drama in your life right now, so much mess, and you're right in the middle of it. And I'm here to tell you, you need to be like David and say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Don't camp out in the mess. Don't set up a tent and hang out in the mess. Understand, I'm going through this mess to my promise. I'm going through this mess. I'm not going to get a lifestyle built around debt. I'm not staying in debt. I'm going to live debt-free. I'm going to be a blessing to everybody that comes into my life. Jim Boatman is one of the biggest givers I've ever met in my life. He goes to church here. Everything that you say to him that you like that, he's like, oh, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. And I have to be careful around him because every time I say I like something, he's like, here, Pastor, just take it. He's showing me this video camera that he just purchased. He just purchased it so that he can make videos. He's got a drone. I said, David loves drones. He said, well, maybe I'll give him my drone. Yeah, I mean, he's just constantly. He lives in this giving lifestyle, and it challenges me. Why? Because I want to be a giver. I don't want to be the recipient all the time trying to take and trying to figure out who can do something for the church and who can help me and who can do this. I want to be one that blesses my staff. I want them to know I am a guy that is just so touched by the hand of God, and I want to enter into God's way of doing things and be a blesser. I'm just so serious about it. I'm saying, hey, just because you're in the middle of a mess, don't think that it's something you did wrong. There's an enemy that wants to hold you back from everything that God has for you. I read that, and then I read 1 Corinthians 2:9, and I've always saw it in a different light. But as I began to read it in the light of the messy middle, it showed me something totally different. In 2 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." That could be some mess. That could be some messy middle that God says, you know, you can't see it. You've never comprehended it. You can't even imagine. But I've got some things prepared for you that I will display my love to you like you've never experienced before. It's possible to have the blessing and the problem growing in the same time, in the same field. Do you realize that when David was anointed king of Israel, when Samuel came, poured the oil over his head, and anointed him as king of Israel, Goliath was growing to 9 foot tall? At the same time, if we knew all the details, none of us would move into our destiny. You don't have to know the details, but know the God of the details. Amen? We will never become all that we were supposed to be without adversity. Having adversity causes us to be who God wants us to be. You know what? God's not scratching his head wondering, how did that happen? God's never said, "Oh, really?" Never. God's never asked, "How did that happen?" He's not caught off guard with the mess. He's not caught off guard with you being in the middle. God's never said, "What am I going to do now?" He has a plan. He has a future. He's never said, "Oops." Don't get stuck in the middle. Keep walking. Don't get stuck in the valley. Keep walking. God will work it out. God's ways are better than our ways. Can anybody say amen? God is so good at protecting us. Sometimes we're unaware of it. But God's working things out for our good. I'm going to give you 7 things to remember when you're in when it gets messy in the middle, okay? 7 things to remember when it gets messy in the middle. Number one, God is more compassionate than you realize. God is way more compassionate than you realize. In Psalm 56 and verse 8, it tells us that God not only sees our tears, but he collects them. There was a time in my sister's life when she got so depressed. Am I right, Glass? Just got so depressed, felt so lonely, and would cry herself to sleep at night. And just be wondering, like, what did I do? Like, why am I going through all this? But she sits here today with a smile on her face saying, you know what? God's bigger than all that. I just remember talking to her and just hearing her heart's cry. Pamela called this week. Tim's wife, Pamela, called this week and gave Bobby a text. And last week during the sermon, God began to show her like rocks. And she was laying on the rocks and crying tears. And then God told her to paint this picture. Do you guys have a copy of this picture? God told her to paint this picture. And she said it was her crying, and then down in that little thing, there was the little green plant that began to grow up from the tears as she was watering the ground with her tears. And so many people that are living under guilt and shame, and they're crying their eyes out, and they're trying to figure out why they're going through what they're going through. And I'm here to tell you today, it could be just that there's mess in the middle. But in the end, God's going to get the glory, and something good is going to grow out of it. Just allow the Holy Spirit to realize he's collecting your tears, and he knows what you're going through. He sees and he understands. This means that your hurt is more precious to him than you could ever imagine. Number two, your situation didn't take God by surprise. What you're going through right now did not take God by surprise. Psalm 139 and verse number 1 says this, "O Lord, you've searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all of my ways." This tells us that God is familiar with everything that's going on in our lives. So we have to trust him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 1 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Number three, God is much more capable of managing your life than you are. God is much more capable of managing your life than you are. I'm guilty of believing that I got the best answer for God. I'd be like those disciples. Let's just call down fire from heaven and consume them right now. I think that'd be best, God. You know, I'm always telling God how to fix my problems. God, if you just work this out, and here's what I need you to do. I need you to do this, have this person call this person. And I just need to back off and say, you know what, God knows what he's doing. And some of you, you're trying to guide God and tell God how and when to do things and how he's supposed to do it. And I just want you to know, in the middle, put your eyes on the Lord and continue to trust God and walk it out. He's God and I'm not. Amen? It's plain and simple, and he can handle it. Number four, God can at any time clear up your mess. Just know that. He don't need your help. At any time, God can turn the whole situation around. And God will turn the whole situation around. So wait for his timing and learn all that he wants you to learn in the moment. Learn all that he wants you to learn in the moment. Romans 8:28 assures us that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. And the next verse tells us how he works things out in our lives. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of the Son. It's all about making me more like Jesus. Come on. There it is. God wants us to be more like his Son through our struggles. So be teachable. Be open to what he wants you to learn. Be moldable. I promise you, if you look at your middle mess, if you look at the mess that you're in, and there are a lot of people who are in mess. Look, there's only three different kinds of people in here, and they're all present in this room. People that are in a problem, just came out of a problem, or people that are about to go into a problem. We're all here. I just came through a storm. You're just getting ready to go into a storm. And some of you are right in the middle of a storm. But just know that God knows, and he's working it out. Amen? Number five, God is incapable of misunderstanding, mismanagement, or mistakes. God is incapable of misunderstanding, mismanagement, or mistakes. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, it said, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth without injustice. Righteousness and upright is he. He's faithful. That just means God doesn't get it wrong. You could be looking at your life right now and say, God, you messed up. I should not be going through this right now. And God says, yeah, you should. Yeah, you should. You should go through this right now and learn while you're there. Jeremiah 18 said, I will arise and go back to the potter's house, and there he will put me on the wheel, and he will cause a work to be worked in my life. He's molding us, shaping us, conforming us into the image of his Son. And when it becomes marred and when we're in the middle of the mess and it feels like things are falling apart, God says, get back on the wheel and let me begin to mold you into who I want you to be. Number six, realize God's already solved the problem. It's just timing. It's going to be revealed. God has already solved the problem. We're often looking for a certain resolution and we want to consider our problem fixed, but God looks at the details and the intentions of our very heart and says, hey, I'm going to work it out. I'm going to work it out. It's possible that the problem still exists in your life because he's working on something inside of you right now. He's working on something inside of you right now. And the last one, Miss Gail, if you could come to the keyboard. A messy situation is one of the primary ways that God awakens our need for him. It's one of the primary ways that God awakens our need for him, and it grows our dependence on him. It shapes our character, and it draws us closer to him. Life consists of messes. We're real bad in the church. We're just always, hurrah, you got this, and we're more than conquerors, and man, great things, and we're living victorious, and we're kicking the devil's butt, and we're just going out there. But I'm going to tell you something. In the middle of that, there's some storms that come in our lives. Huh? There's some times when you go home at night and you're thinking, what's growing in my field? I didn't plant this. I didn't do this. Why am I going through all this? Just know you have an enemy. You have an enemy. And sometimes he's planted the wrong seed in our lives. God wants us to draw into a deeper dependency upon him. There's things that I just know that when I've went through them, it didn't feel very fun. And then I get past it and I go, okay, God, I understand now. How many know we're going to understand it all by and by? Amen? Why don't you stand up on your feet with me, please? And let me share this last scripture with you from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Powerful text in the Bible that reminds us. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Destiny Church, God can be trusted. It's messy in the middle, but he wants you to know that you can trust him. And he really wants you to lean in during this time and learn what it means to find meaning in the mess. There's meaning in the mess. And I pray God will reveal to you this week. He's got a good plan. There are no coincidences in the Bible. There's no accidents. Everything that we're going through has purpose. Amen? If everybody would just lean forward towards me. Just lean in. Come on, you can do it. Hey, come on. Lean in. Huh? Just lean in. Say, God, I'm leaning into this and I'm believing that you're going to work it for my good. Doug, you leaning? Yeah, lean up. You don't look like you're leaning, man. Lean up. I'm leaning in, God, because I believe that you're going to work something out, that there's going to be life. Put that picture back up, Pamela painted. That my tears, God, are being gathered. My tears are bringing forth life. You know what I'm going through. You know my marriage. You know my family. You know everything, God. And I know that you have a good plan. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that you have for me, Lord. I'm leaning in. I'm grabbing it, God. I'm saying I'll go through it. I'll walk through it. And I'll keep my joy. I'll keep my peace. I'll keep my eyes on the Lord. I'll count it all joy, God. Because you're working everything for good. In Jesus' name, lift your hands to the Lord, everybody. Let's just worship the Lord. Just receive this word for your life. Listen, I really believe God wanted somebody to hear, this is not seed that you've sown. You're going through a valley right now. You're going through a time because of an enemy has sowed tares into your life. But in the end, God's going to bring the harvest. God's going to bring the barn full of harvest. Come on. Your barn is going to be full of the harvest. In Jesus' name.